Good afternoon, sir. It's 12:06. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Price.
Yes, good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing?
I am fine, thank you.
Wonderful. Let me from the outset, Mr. Price, commend the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force for their work that they have been doing and serving and living up to the slogan, I think, serve, reassure, and protect. But there are a few things I want to raise this morning. One has to do with, I have two personal friends of mine who are now on the island. And much to my dismay, we discovered that the police no longer issue to non-resident drivers on our shores driver's permit. And they were told that the licenses authority has now sole responsibility now for the issuing of these permits. The challenge that they are having is that they arrive on the island just after 6 on Friday. All of us know that the license authority is now closed until Tuesday. And I see it as one of the biggest disadvantages to these individuals. And I want to find out, I don't know the circumstances surrounding the reason why the police are not now handling driver's permit. But I mean, if someone make a decision to remove it from the for any of the grasp of the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force, I think that it should be then in the grasp of another institution or location where it can be accessed to those individuals who really need them. That's my first concern. The police would they can answer that when they hang up. The next thing is that I'm going to make a very strong lobby, Mr. Price, for these flexi allowances to return to the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force, simply because that we cannot be stretching the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force, right, to the tune of 17 and 18 hours away from their families, and then believe that the basic salary will cut it. I think that despite, I know, I understand the challenges that government is now facing as it relates to the economic crisis, but I think that we need to put systems in place to have the flexi allowance return to the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force. Next thing, the third thing, is stop and search. I'm fully supportive of the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force and this stop and search quest for whatever they believe or deem necessary to ensure that the people of this country are safe and they can go about their legitimate business without hindrance or let. But the challenge is that one of the things that they are now confronted with is this dark tent that is now placed on the flim, that is placed on the windows of these individuals. There was in circulation a few short clip where police officers had stopped to search a vehicle, and people were concerned about the manner in which the police approached the vehicles. But Sanka, in all fairness to the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force, is that if you have a car where you cannot see any individual in this vehicle and you are approaching the vehicle, and that you may have some level of intelligence as it relates to either the occupants of the vehicle or the owner of the vehicle, you can't expect the individuals to approach the car in a club. We got to be serious. So I think the challenge that we are having in this country is that some level of order must now exist as it relates to what would be the criteria for the minimum darkness portraying from a vehicle as it relates to the tent, and that those persons who fall outside of the law as it relates to that some type of penalty be brought against these individuals, because it cannot be fair to any member of the Royal Barbados Police Force, as I said it just now, to be approaching vehicles where you can't see the individuals in these vehicles, and then people are concerned as to the police approach to these vehicles. It can't be fair to them. If all these comments that you're hearing, Sankin, you ask any of these individuals if they would approach the vehicle in the same way, they would tell no. But all of a sudden, they believe the police should approach it with a club. I say no. All right, that's all I want to say.
All right, Patrick, thank you. Three very, very good questions. Very good. Let's deal with them. I think the first one is extremely interesting because in terms of the whole tourism aspect as well. So let's see how we can deal with it. The whole thing of licenses, temporary licenses when one comes in.
Visitor's
permits.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Years ago, he's correct. Years ago, police officers, that was one of the responsibilities at certain identified stations, I think Hastings and Holtown, certain stations. We no longer do that. That is really the call for the revenue generating agencies, and that is a matter that should be discussed at probably minister level, commissioner level, as to whether we should go back there. Personally, I know that we are stretched with resources, and adding a responsibility like that only makes it a little. And we do understand the need. We, after all, we are encouraging visitors to come here, and we want to make sure that they're comfortable. So his suggestion of having an alternate agency dealing with it is a very good suggestion. Driver's permit, we support visitors having ease of getting to these kind of things then, but I'm not sure if we're going to go about there as a force. I don't make that decision. I think the Office of the Commissioner of Police would have views on that, but we understand the pros and cons in respect of driver's permit, visitors, driver's permit.
Thank you for that answer, but my mouth is open here because I'm saying to myself, if I have somebody coming in now, what do I tell them? That means that if they've booked a vehicle, and they come here now, they literally can't drive legally.
I can tell you for sure, Sanka, some of these rental agencies provide visitors permit for drivers, for tourists. You aware of that?
So they do.
Some of them are authorized.
Yeah, they're authorized to do it.
So they're authorized to do it?
Mm-hmm. Some of them are authorized to do it.
Oh, okay. So that's good news.
Yes.
Oh, but we still think that it could be a system where you can have more persons involved, or as you said, a different organization or authority to deal with it, to make it a little better for visitors. We get visitors 24/7, and therefore I guess you need to have an agency that could provide a service like that. I'm not so sure that the Royal Barbados Police Force would want to go back to dealing specifically with this.
Okay. The second question, in terms of the flexi allowance to the RBPF, you want to pass that one? I think you should pass that one. Stop and search. Is stop and search illegal? Is stop and search legal, sorry? Because there was a question of whether it was legal or not at some point.
If you have information on anything, we have the power to stop and search the vehicle. If you have an objection, we can have the vehicle remain on the scene, have someone prepare a search warrant, and we can exclude the search there and then. So the choice is yours.
Yeah, but
it can be done.
It can be done. But here it is, just somebody normally going about their business and you randomly picking up cars and searching them. Because that was used to be done a few years back.
And we pick up cars based on intelligence.
On intelligence, yeah.
Only.
Yeah. Were you ever stopped and searched by the police?
No.
Okay. You answered the question.
But the caller made a point about the dangers, and I want to thank him again for the support he's obviously given to the force.
Yeah.
And he highlighted, I wondered if he was a police officer. Because he is touched on some issues that we speak about. And there's law and there's legislation referring to the tint on your vehicle. Yet, yes, it needs to be a little stronger. Because it speaks of seeing the driver from a reasonable distance. But these are matters too when we see vehicles with these mirror tint and these extremely dark tinted windows. We have the authority to send them to the ministry to be inspected
again. And hence the question I asked earlier about the routine checking of these things, because how did we come to this? Yeah. The fact about the matter is that when tinting was first allowed, three decades ago or so, you were told from day one back then that it was supposed to be just a light tint. But now all of a sudden...
Tint is important.
Yes.
It's important.
Right, but it's important. But the whole point about it is that if the persons who are tinting the vehicles put a tint on any car for a customer, and then the police stops that customer,
yes,
okay, the message will go wrong. Look, you can't put that tint, it's too dark, and the police doing something about it. If your feet are down on an issue, people, it does not get out of hand. And this is one of these cases where this thing has gone out of hand.
Agree, Sanka, but let us be real. Look at well, there's no more road tax. But we, our feet were done with road tax every day. But yet you had thousands of people get away. They don't want to pay the road tax. The traffic offenses that are happening day by day. And a lot of persons, some of these head persons with these extremely dark tint on their vehicles, if they had to be honest, they know. Is wrong. And police out there day by day doing the enforcement. It presents a danger for us, even the everyday person, to stop a vehicle. And like the caller said, I mean, we have our intelligence. We know many times why people will have their vehicle tinted extremely dark. And sometimes your life is on the line in dealing with these. And these are police operational procedures and matters. And it's something that we as a police force and the ministry and the courts, I keep saying and the courts, we will take serious and we to get, you know, to stop this thing from happening. They must feel as if they commit the offense, they will have to pay the penalty, and not 10 years from now, but almost immediately. Once they begin to feel it, their behavior will change.
Mm-hmm. This is something I've been speaking about continuously.
I know.
If we as police officers have to stop a vehicle, what we are doing, especially the nighttime, we can't see inside. I am of the opinion, like, we follow lots of traffic routines, duties, or traffic offenses from other countries. In the U.S., you cannot drive around with your two front windows tinted or the front windscreen.
Yeah.
You should be able to see to the rear and the sides to recognize who's driving that vehicle. Because if we are approaching from the side and that vehicle is heavily tinted, when the guy rolls down his windows, we don't know what we're going to be faced with. That has been a concern of mine for years. And I think it's about time that we need to have some law in that bear that the two front windows, the windshield, both windshields, should be free of tint. When we saw persons with heavily tinted, they are telling us about the sun protection for their upholstery, a lot of nonsense. I prefer the sun to damage my upholstery than to encounter danger when approaching a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a lot of calls, so
okay.
And we'll take some calls and then we'll try to get to some of your messages, because yes, we have a lot of WhatsApp messages too.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, you're on Brass Tack Sunday. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Go right ahead, my dear.
Good afternoon, Sanka. I want to commend the Royal Barbados Police Force on the job that they're doing. I think they're doing a commendable job in terms of fighting crime and stuff, but I have a concern here. I am visually impaired, and I attended the Bacchanal Time versus the Best of Kropova show on Wednesday night. And leaving the show, a taxi came to collect me, and I know that the traffic was funny with the, you know, all the people doing there, the patrons and stuff. The gentleman had to come in to get me, and one of the police officers, a female, said to the taxi guy, which I thought was wrong, because we are trying to fight discrimination in so many ways, and that's like 10, 27 steps backward that we are making. She said to him, when he told her that he was coming in to get me because I cannot see, she said, I should be home. That is discrimination in the high. I mean, I know you. I don't know you, Inspector Innes, but I know you have a family member who is visually impaired as well. I know
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's wrong. I think we have gone too far in this country. We have a right to go out there like anyone else and enjoy ourselves. I wanted to attend the show. I've never been to it. And I think it was wrong for her to tell the taxi guy that I should be home. I know mm-hmm. that there were constraints as far as traffic is concerned, but there are exceptions to every rule. That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say again, if what you're saying is true, and I have no reason to doubt you, that's considered unprofessional behavior. We do a lot of training within the Royal Barbados Police Force, but there's some things that you just can't train people to do. It must be within them. And I'm saying, I would really want to apologize to you if that female officer did in fact say those things to the person coming to you. What I think, like I said to previous callers, you don't left those things undone. We have systems in place where you can make a formal complaint, where that person should be identified and spoken to, because I take it may not be the first time, and if you don't say do anything about it, it may not be the last time either. I will gladly take your information off the air at the end of this, and I will communicate with you to get some further details on it and to advise you accordingly. But certainly that is not the norm. That is not what's expected, and I'm sure the commissioner of police himself, he abhors this kind of behavior day by day. And when this occurs, like you did, we are encouraging members of the public to shout out. Let us know when our members, we are sworn to provide a good quality service, and when we fall short or disrespectful in our behavior, it should be noted. It should, someone should have the authority to deal with it. I'll be asking you to bring it up today.
All right, thank you very much, ma'am. We've got another call. Good afternoon on Brass Talk Sunday. Good afternoon, you're on the air. Good afternoon. I take another call. Good afternoon, you're on the air, Brass Talk Sunday.
Yes, hello.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, just briefly. That one needs an apology, Andrew. But I just called to support the officers because I think if you're in the shoes, you will know how it feels. If you're not there, you will never know how it feels. The Barbadian public a bit ambivalent. They want to support the police when it suits them, and when it doesn't suit them, they want the police officers. Now, the police is supposed to be a fair law enforcement agency in this land, and it's been so for years. The uniform they wear is representative of to protect, serve, and reassure. That's what they're there for, and they're paid to do so. And they deserve the respect from all in Sundry and Barbados. Without the police, you get anarchy. And let me tell you something. We're not too far from that. The day the police refuse to work or to do their job efficiently, you can rest certain we can become in Jamaica, Trinidad, and some other Caribbean countries. We don't want that out here.
Certainly don't. All right, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Is there anything you want to add in terms of the your preparations for Kadumant and
I'm an observer. I don't participate in that.
All right, so thank you very much for your contribution. We try to take one more call before the news. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, yes, Mr. Price. Hello. Yeah.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, sir. A note here for the member. Glad you have the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force on your program today. I would like to compliment them on the strenuous jobs and the conditions that they work on, which is very deplorable. However, I'm pertaining to a matter of noise, and I'm happy to hear that one of your senior officers in there can now testify to the torment and nightmares that we, the people in the surrounding area of Bank Hall, Strathclyde, Westbury Road, and so on, suffer with these noisy kites day in and day out. And it is very, very, very deplorable. I refer them to the laws of Barbados, which is the minor offences, 1998, set chapter 137. 3-2, A to D, and it is very, very terrible, Mr. Price. It is sickening. I have moved here in Strathclyde. This is Stephen Downey here. I have endured this for the last 6 years. The police in Blackrock are trying their humble best, thanks to directions from the Assistant Commissioner, Mr. Oral Williams, to do their best to put this thing once and for all to rest. But it's totally unacceptable. It is not nice. It is bad for people's health. It is detrimental. You come home from a hard day work, you can't sleep at night. Kites over your house 24/7, like bulldozers in the sky. The same way the police have a squad to monitor the karaoke and so on. These places are very easy to target. They come from Westbury Road, they come from St. Leonard's Church, St. Leonard's School, and all they have to do, find out who owned the kites, prosecute them, and this matter is rest assured for once and for all.
All right, sir. Well, look, thank you very, very much. Noise pollution, and especially related to kites, is a major problem. We try to get one more caller in. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on Brass Talk Sunday. Good afternoon. Ooh. That dropped right out. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
We have a good policing in these years now forward. 2000, we have good policemen. In the 60s, when I was a girl, we had a guardhouse, police Belmont Station. We had it there. We had good conduct. Policemen didn't used to, you couldn't go and touch a police clothes and hug him. And policemen do it right now. They love people. And I don't see why they should get so much complaints about, you know, not seeing to them. Police love people. We couldn't hug policemen. We couldn't touch policemen's clothes. We had a Belmont Station there, and it was very well operated. Everybody keep good and everybody do the little thing, and it was nothing. About that kite spotting at the last night we had it here in Belmont Road, every night we get that 4 and 5 bulls on and a kite. A kite is 6'6" and it keeping enough noise. Policemen are good policemen and they love their turn.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much for your comments. I think we have one last call. We try to get this in very quickly. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Go right ahead, sir.
In relation to the matter you asked the police officer to pass on, Lowen says, I'm aware that there are certain government agencies in Barbados who work shift systems, and they get what is called an inconvenience allowance. As far as we know, the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force don't get that. My query is, what makes us different?
You just gave your hand away.
and you know
we understand why I asked them not to pass. I mean, it would not be proper of them to be speaking about this, which comes in their favor, right? Because, I mean, they need it, yes, but they can be talking about it, and it's not proper for them to be at their level to be talking about this in that way.
I agree. The question is not for the officers. The question is to be put out there for those persons who ought to hear, those persons who have ears to hear, I think that's what calling the program is supposed to be
audible. And I'm sure that message went loud and clear, trust me.
I hope so.
All right, my friend. All right, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back just after the 12:30 news. And we would really have to look, because we have this whole thing of noise pollution. We have a number of WhatsApps here. In fact, most of the WhatsApps here that we have are dealing with noise pollution. So we'll come and we'll talk about that, and then we'll do a final wrap-up on Kadumut Day tomorrow. So please stay with us. We'll be right back after the latest. Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. And in the studio, we have with us Inspector Rodney Innes. He's the Public Relations Officer of the Royal Barbados Police Force. Inspector Stephen Griffith. He is a known crime prevention officer, and he's also the officer who deals with a lot of the security issues related to Grand Kadumut, the grand finale, which takes place tomorrow. And, of course, we have the Venerable Sergeant Siebert Johnson, and he deals with all the traffic issues. Of course, he's one of the familiar voices that you hear. And we're talking about everything that relates to Kadumut and the concerns of the police may have in terms of security issues. Before we took the break, Inspector Griffith, of course, gave an outline. He gave 12 points that were extremely important in terms of safety measures for the community to look at. But we, of course, have a number of questions on from the WhatsAppers, and most of them relate to noise. And I want us to just deal very briefly. There's so many. I can't even pick out which one I should hit first. But there was one, if I can find it again, as I said, there's so many. People are not only looking at noise in terms of FETs, they're looking at noise in terms of the kites, they're looking at noise in terms of the baffles from motorcycles and the exhausts from vehicles. Of course, we had a caller who spoke about the minibus horns on some minibuses. If we can just deal with just that issue before we go on any further about noise. How can we deal with noise? Okay. What legislation is in place, if there's any?
Mm-hmm. Like an earlier caller mentioned, we also issue permits under the Highways Act to perform loud musical instruments within 25 yards of a highway. Once in receipt of a complaint, we take action in relation to persons responsible. But in order to prosecute the victims need to come forward and give a statement, or they can, through an attorney, file an injunction against the person who is performing the noise or the
noise pollution.
Mm-hmm. It is, like you said, it's very topical. we get regular complaints on this subject area, and used to be considered a nuisance offense, but it's the motorcycles, it's these motor carriers with these loud exhausts, as you said, it's a kite flying, and then they're legitimate places of entertainment who go at some hours that would interrupt elderly persons or the average person from sleeping. And something is something that the Commissioner of Police, the Office of the Commissioner of Police, have to investigate prior to issuing those permits. That's why we often ask that you come at least 6 weeks before if you're going to have these functions and request the permission to give the police time to go, do a site visit, do the necessary interviews and see where you're going to have your event, see the pros and cons of it before they make a decision as to whether or not you should be allowed to have your event. But to answer your question in terms of how do we go ahead, there must be communication between all the entities. For example, the earlier caller who called about the issue at Bay Street, what we intend to do is certainly speak to her. And we must speak to the churches involved and obviously the places of entertainment. There must be communication to make sure that matters like that does not happen again, that all the parties understand why they're required to do something, the time frame in which they're going to do it, and what are the outcomes should they not comply.
Mm-hmm. Another major issue, of course, that is being raised, and I'm raising it here now, is about the car permits. Again, this is you made your point that some the car hiring firms they give their own permits. Mm-hmm. But what a number of people have written here saying is that if it's a family member coming in and you just got a car, otherwise from one of the main recognized people. One of the major car companies, but you know, they're local people who hire cars too. Then that's a difficulty. So this is an issue that would also have to arise, and I think that's important in terms of our crop over, because especially if we go back to the format where we have now from this year, so that you have some of the major activities begin on from Friday night. So a lot of people may be coming in either Friday morning,
yes,
and going straight on, and they will leave on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So they would want to have a car. At the airport,
well, that's matter expedited.
They will want that matter expedited.
But I believe too, if you are in the business of car hiring, I think that you should get into the business too of obtaining some permits from the ministry so you can be able to serve your customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If, because like you said, between now and Monday,
Tuesday,
there you go. And therefore, if you are in the business of hiring vehicles, I don't see the reason why you can't, you know. Mm-hmm. Obtain a few of these driver's license from MPW to issue your clients.
Yes, that is very true. Inspector Griffith, we want to take another look from another angle at some of the issues that you wanted to raise in terms of Kadumut and the whole thing of security. Could you just?
Well, one thing I want to say is that in addition to those vendors, you should be looking now, but before now, because you've had your Bridgetown market is still in session, the predictable cash handling procedures. Persons doing the same thing every day at the same time when moving cash from the business places, not only at Spring Garden with the vendors, but generally. This predictable cash handling procedure would set you up to be targeted by those persons who have criminal intentions. And it is not only for the vendors, but generally even in financial institutions across Barbados. Even at a bank, if you're a bank clerk and you see a person coming in at 10 o'clock every morning with $20,000, you, the clerk, should say something to that person. Look, you know, you come here at 10 every morning. This could create a problem. You know, somebody wait for you on the outside, or whatever the case would be. Why not stagger this, or seek to have an established security agency to bring this money in for you, or something like that? But at Spring Garden, I would have spoken to those vendors again extensively prior to the event, and you know what we find is that the people who give most of the challenges do not usually come to these sessions. And we had this session and we spoke to them on how they should be dealing with their monies, not keeping the money from morning till night inside the little chaos that they may be selling from. That is a challenge. Because what when it happens, you know, you are the person who's going to be there last. You're going to be first in, last out as a vendor. Mm-hmm. Because you're getting you want maximum intake from your effort. And therefore, when you are there last, you put yourself as a target. And then you might want to take home that money. I say no, by that time you should have had that money removed from your area and secured in a deposit, a safe night deposit or somewhere, but not taking the money home. And one of the things I find that people who going home late at night, and you all would agree with me, people wait until they get to the door to look for the keys in one of the 5 bags that they have. This places you on the outside of the house for a long period of time whilst you're trying to find the keys wherever you may have placed these keys. So therefore, these are things that we won't want you to live only for an event, but to live every day. Practice safe procedures in dealing with all your affairs so that we reduce the chances of you being targeted for criminal activity.